Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I'm really excited. I get to welcome Andrea Mott-Dennis to your Partner in Success Radio. Andrea is a copywriter, and I've seen her work. She's really, really good. In fact, she does some work for me. She's really, really good. So copywriting is such an important part of your arsenal if you're a virtual assistant, if you're a web developer, if you're an online entrepreneur of any description. You need help with your copywriting, with your sales letters, with just the message that you want to put out. Finding a good copywriter who can speak in your voice, who can work with you, who can get your message across in a clear and cogent fashion is very important. Andrea and I are going to be covering a lot of this. You know, copywriting is something that a lot of people are just not aware that they really need, or they think they can do it on their own. Look, I was one of those people. My hand is in the air. I write all the time. Am I a really great copywriter? Nope. So that's why I have Andrea on board. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a freelance copywriter and PR professional of nearly 10 years. And she's had the pleasure of developing creatively effective communications for clients in wildly varying industries, from roller coasters, which I love, to wealth management. That's me. More recently, she has expanded her entrepreneurial interests, and she and her husband, Jamie, launched a really cool wine-tasting social network, VinU.com, V-I-N-U.com, in early March of last year. So she's also had a number of other web-based businesses in the works, and she's a mother, and she's a wife, and she's an entrepreneur, my kind of gal. We're going to be discussing social media and why it is so important to come out from underneath your safe rock and put yourself out there as a professional and as an expert. And again, copywriting can help you with that. We're going to be talking about just all kinds of things. So I've done enough chatting. Let me introduce you to Andrea. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hi, Denise. Thanks so much.
Well, it's good to have you here. We've tried before, never could make it.
And we have a couple
today,
times.
Today, you're actually here. I know.
I know. Yay. We've made some progress.
We did. Well, both of us are just crazy busy, and it's still no excuse. Well, we need to do a better job of keeping track.
Well, we're here now, right?
Who's supposed to be where. But, yeah, because I think I dropped the ball the last time. But anyway, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you're now taking the steps necessary to make your business more visible on the Internet.
Well, you covered quite a bit of it. I'm a copywriter and a PR professional. I actually have a degree in PR, but I've really taken more of a turn in the copywriting area. And, I worked overseas for a couple of years, and that's where I really started to hone the copy craft, if you will. Mm-hmm. I just keep growing and growing as far as, you know, different things that I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of web-based projects now. Of course, that's where a lot of, you know, copy and marketing is mm-hmm. going these days anyway. So that's where I'm going with it, and I'm loving it. And, that's about it. That's about it. And social media, yeah, I'm getting into it. You know, trying more and more with Twitter. I'm pretty good on Facebook, but you know, I'm a lot like you in that respect. That it's just me. I haven't built a fan mm-hmm. page yet, at least not for this. I have other things. You mentioned Venue, and right. We have a fan page for that. And you know, I do work on that, of course. And that's it's a little bit different than, you know, copywriting or kind of a you know, B2B professional sort of service, at least in my mind, and maybe that's one of those hurdles that I need to get over. But, you know, within you, in wine, it's kind of an active, ongoing conversation. People are excited about it, and it's just a little bit different than, you know, show off my work, you know, which is just not in my nature. So right now it's...
It is difficult for a lot of entrepreneurs. We're like, oh, gosh, we were told not to brag on ourselves. And you have to. You just have to.
You have to. At the same time, you know, it's as we've talked about before, the push versus the pull marketing styles these days, you know, there's a big difference there. So you have to kind of be careful not to necessarily walk that line. The biggest thing for me now is I'm just trying to be myself. I don't want to push my own stuff out there, but if it's something that resonates with me, something that I really appreciate, whether it's a quote or an article or, you know, something that resonates with me positively or negatively, then, you know, that's comfortable for me and just to open the conversation. And again, that's part of the big thing for me right now is just having the conversation and not being one-sided and not pushing things on people, but kind of engaging and communicating.
Right. I know when we did our initial pre-interview chat, you had mentioned that you find it really difficult to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not alone. I mean,
no.
I struggled with that when I first started out. I kept saying, I can't just go out there and go, look at me. You know, I can do all these things. Look at me. And it's really uncomfortable. But I agree with you. Once you start that conversation and you're sharing free tidbits or, you know, free resources and you're letting people know that you really, you're interested and passionate about what you do and you're interested and passionate about sharing it with other people, you know, that's appreciated. People really get that.
And I think it's enlightening, too. I mean, when you're sharing those little tidbits, you know, you're giving little gems away. You're kind of, you know, a gateway into how you work, and that I think is pretty valuable.
Yeah, it is. So what steps are you currently taking to overcome what, you know, it's a natural reticence to promoting yourself. Are you taking any particular steps, or do you have any actionable tips that you can kind of share with our audience?
Well, for me, the biggest things, and this is just part of my nature, part of my personality, is I strive to be perfect. So I'm trying to step away from that. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be on point every time. You know, you can just be yourself. And, you know, kind of scared to make mistakes. That's just kind of in my nature. So, and especially when you're talking social media, you know, it's immediate. It's out there. It's broadcasted to whomever is in your network, and you know it can be scary. You know, who's listening to this, and am I right in my thinking? Am I correct in my philosophy? But your philosophy is your philosophy, and you just kind of have to stand by that. So I'm, you know, it's a growth process.
Right.
Even though I've, you know, got a PR background and I understand the benefit to it, it's still outside my nature, at least for me. You know, I'm great with other people. I understand the benefit to it. I understand the advantage to it. But for me, it's just a little bit scary. But again, I think that's just because I always try to be perfect and, you know, not veer too far either way. But, you know, there's a lot of benefit that also comes with stepping out of your comfort zone and doing things that you're not necessarily used to. I mean, that surges you ahead, and so I'm trying to do a lot of that as well.
Well, what happens, and this has been my experience both with myself and with my clients, is that if you are constantly second-guessing what you're about to say or what your real thought processes are, and if you're worried about offending somebody else, excuse me, you literally, you know, come up with what I call paralysis by analysis. You're so busy second-guessing that you're doing nothing. And nothing is the absolute wrong road to take. You've got to do something.
You're not going to get anywhere. And besides, you know, if you're always trying to please everyone, then, as you know, it's very cliche. You're pleasing no one, but it's not getting you anywhere. It's not really conveying your message to anyone. It's not really conveying your, you know, your true philosophy, your true angles, your true, you know, anything.
Right.
So put it out there, and that's easier said than done, but, you know, do it.
It can be a little bit scary. It can. To be honest with you, I gave up caring what people thought when I was 5 years old.
I'd love to do that.
I did. And I remember when I did it. But, you know, it's just, and it's not that I don't care. It's just that I can't control what they think. So I cannot possibly spend time worrying about it. You know, and I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday. No, you don't, even your nearest and dearest, you don't know what they're really thinking. You can't possibly.
Right.
All you know is how they respond to you. That's, you know, where your energy is going to come from. So, you know, my attitude, and it sounds like your attitude is as well, just get out there, share, do whatever you can to be a resource in your particular community, whether it's online or, you know, both. I mean, you know, both physically and online. But, you know, just be yourself because people will appreciate it. Some people might not get you. Oh, well, chances are you don't get them either.
And
so, you know, why worry about it?
I'm very much in the Gary Vaynerchuk camp. My husband and I are, to some extent, kind of distant friends of his. But I'm a big believer in much of what he has to say. You know, he talks about when he started on Twitter, or not when he started on Twitter per se, but when he started Wine Library, it was, you know, he was listening. And that's a big thing, too. If you listen and you're seeing what other people are saying out there, then at some point somebody's going to say something that you go, oh, I have an opinion on that. And,
right.
And you'll be comfortable going to them because they've opened the conversation. I mean, sometimes starting the conversation is the hardest part. So, you know, once you look around and you listen and you see what's going on around you, then you kind of get used to it. And I've really listened to his take on that, and it has made me a lot more comfortable doing just that. So I'm big on that.
Good. Well, that's exactly where people need to go with social media. You need to really understand. Let me ask you about this. Let me back up a little bit. I started to make a statement. Now I'm going to turn it into a question.
Okay.
What is your opinion on people saying, well, you know, I just don't really have that much to say? Well, why are you in social media then? I'd really like to know. I understand about listening, and I understand about watching, but unless you're participating, aren't you just kind of doing a halfway job?
Well, I mean, at that point, you're just being a voyeur, right? I think that's so much part of our human nature, and I think that's why so much of this is the social media landscape is so popular, is because it allows us to kind of eavesdrop on so many things without really participating if we don't want to. But if you want to get anywhere with it, then you have to be a part of the conversation. I mean, sure, you can learn a lot from it, but I think that's where the listening comes in. Is at first you may not think you have a lot to say, and I'm still there to some extent. Now, there are some things that I have a lot to talk about, and some of my newer ventures, I'm really fired up about them, and so I'm passing on a lot of information about that right now until I get my own site up and running, and then I'll, you know, be gabbing even more about it. But, you know, for certain things, you know, it's like, well, I'd rather just wait until I have something really good. I don't want to just shove stuff out there that I, you know, only half-heartedly believe in or whatever, just to get something out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of there's a balance to it.
There is. And, you know, one thing that really bothers me on Facebook in particular is that somebody who I have not really engaged with, who is, you know, they've been maybe in my friend list because I have, at this point, about 4,000 friends. I've knocked out about 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, because I've never actually engaged with them, or, you know, they just hooked up with me in the early, early days when I was accepting all friend requests. And
right.
Why am I friends with somebody who only speaks Greek? That doesn't make any sense.
It's
so,
right.
You know, I've been cleaning that out and making it a point to connect with people that I am, you know, I do have interests in common with. And, you know, we do speak the same kind of business language.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm finding is that all of a sudden, I will get hit with a hard sell from somebody I really have not connected with.
Mm.
And I have to tell you, my hackles go up.
I bet.
And I don't think that that's an uncommon reaction. So if you've got something in the pipeline, and this is kind of my take on social media marketing, and I mean marketing, not just social networking, if you've got something coming up, if you've got a membership site coming up or an event or a teleseminar or whatever it is that it may be a month away, you still need to start chatting about it.
Right.
Because
right.
you can't just all of a sudden say, hey, you know, come to my event. It's going to cost you $20 to be on my teleseminar.
Exactly.
Nope, not going to do it.
No.
And that's the reaction you're going to get from more people than me.
Right, right. That's a very good point. That's something I've been thinking about even, you know, with this project that I was just talking to you about. It's about food, and anybody who's on my Facebook page in particular, who I'm friends with, has seen lots of things as of recently regarding food and just kind of that industry. But in providing your own opinion, so it won't come out of left field. And if you're really passionate
right.
about something anyway, it's just going to naturally come out. And so that's, you know, Kimberly, our mutual friend at GFYD member, she's passionate about it. And, you know, boy, everybody knows it because that's she lives it. So that makes really, you know, a lot of sense for her.
Right, that's exactly right. And one thing about Facebook, I don't know why we're focused on Facebook today, I think because it's the easiest place to be.
Mm-hmm.
LinkedIn is wonderful, but it's a little stuffy. Twitter, you know, some people are very passionate about Twitter. Some consider it a tool. I fall in the latter category. It's a tool. I'm not nuts about it, but I use it. But, you know, I do understand why you should be on Twitter. But Facebook, to me, is where you can actually carry on conversations, one-on-one conversations, which is very fun. So what I'm finding with Facebook is that there's a fine line, particularly, and I think you and I have talked about this before, if you're going to be in business and your primary reason for being on Facebook is to introduce people to your services or your products, there's a real fine line there between showing people what your personality truly is, what your interests and passion are, and either, number one, locking them out. I can't tell you how often I see this. You'll see a Facebook profile that you can't see. I get invitations all the time. You know, will you be my friend? Well, who are you?
Exactly.
Why would I
do
that?
Do you want to be friends with me?
I don't know who you are. So, you know, my answer is always no. And the other extreme, if you will, is you'll go to somebody who, you know, you may kind of know them from other venues or other events, and you know that they've got skills. You know that they've got, you know, these great, you know, just things going on in their lives. And you see Farmville and Mafia Awards, like, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, on Facebook, it can be an absolute gold mine for you. But you really have to be careful what you put on that page.
And you can't
be playing games, and you can't keep people locked out. Those are my two big no-nos. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, I'm not a, I you know, it's, I actually had to hide some of the Farmville things that I was getting from some of my friends. It just, you know, it stuffs up the feed. And I don't mind when other people are doing it. And a lot of the people who I know who are doing it, you know, they're, you know, stay-at-home moms. They're friends I've known from high school and different things.
Sure.
It just drives me a little bit crazy. But I am of the camp of not necessarily the gaming, but I'm willing to put some things out there personally.
Awesome.
You know, right. I'm a big Gator fan. I'm a fantasy football junkie. I like my wine. I like my food. You know, and that's just me. And that's part of the way that I do business. I'm very personal, very personable. And so I don't mind putting some of that out there, but there is a limit. So, you know, there won't be games, that sort of thing. But also you have to be careful, you know. Not everything can go out there because it's your brand. It's your brand.
Well, yes, that's
and,
exactly
and
right.
You have to protect that.
You do. I had one girl that, you know, she wanted me to hire her as a web developer, and she was good. And she did do some projects for me. And I went and looked at her Facebook page. She had posted some kind of innocuous note on my Facebook page. And, you know, I tend to go back and either make a comment or like it, you know, just to, you know, let people know that I appreciate that you visited and I'll visit back.
Mm-hmm.
And darned if there weren't pictures of her in a bikini sprawled on a bed. I said, holy crap.
Wow.
Well, that's not what I said. I said something a little more pithy.
Oh, come on.
I thought, in French, but it was just so inappropriate for a professional, and I just went, oh my gosh. And she's a nice girl. I like her. I didn't like seeing those pictures. I didn't. I thought
destroyed
her brand.
You have to kind of limit it to some extent, you know.
Yeah.
And there are photos. My husband and I are rock banders. You know, we like to do that. So there are some photos up there, but there's nothing inappropriate.
Right.
So yeah, it you have to be careful. But that's just a byproduct of social media.
It is, but you know, in case anybody's, you know, wondering why we're not really bashing Facebook at all. We're just saying if you're going to be conducting business with capital B on Facebook, you really have to make some hard and fast rules about what you're willing to put up there, what you're willing to share, because you do have to share some personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to let your personality shine through. But you don't want to put bikini pictures up there.
No.
Or
I wouldn't want to do that anyway.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I looked at that and went, no.
Yeah, got me thinking now.
business is business. And in these days of social media, it is relationship marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, look, I can do this for you. This is my skill set. In your case, you're a terrific copywriter. In my case, I'm a virtual assistant and a web developer.
Mm-hmm.
We're both very good business people. We're both very skilled at what we do. And we want to let people know that. But they, in turn, want to know who we are.
Right.
And what we're all about. And do we love cats? Do we kick children? You know, they want to know.
Well, let's not get into that.
They need, I know.
Do we kick children?
To know something. Oh, yeah, let's not go down that road.
That's the question of the day.
I don't go around children, so my answer is no, I don't kick them, but I don't go around them.
I live with two of
them,
so I can't help it, but I don't kick them, at least not very often, no.
You know, these days, I hate to say it, I'm going to offend somebody. I really don't care for children much these days.
I like mine.
Of course.
You give me others.
I get out in public, and it's like, oh, geez, can you control that? No, please. Please make
bad.
It up. Yeah,
oh,
I know.
My.
I apologize to anybody I just offended, but that's the way it is. So let's talk about copywriting, because that is where you really, really shine. And what I would like to do is convey, because, look, I resisted copywriters for a long time. Number one, I couldn't afford one. Number two, I thought I could do it myself. Number three, I found out that both were wrong, number one and number two.
Well,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, as a copywriter, as someone who does this for other people, I found it absolutely grueling to do my own copy work. When I was writing my website, it sat there for probably months because I wanted to pull my hair out every single time I was doing my own web copy. And that's where I think a copywriter can be hugely valuable to an entrepreneur or, you know, even a large business. Either way, I mean, you know your brand, but at some point you're quite possibly too close to it. You know, and then it's very easy to fall back on the this is what I offer you. You know, this is what I can do. This is what I can do. When really it's especially in copywriting. I mean, you talk the push versus the pull marketing these days, but I believe that copy plays a huge part in that because of the way that you speak to the reader, or, you know, in the case of, you know, a video script or something like that, you know, the listener. But pretty much everything needs to have a heavy component of, you know, what's in it for the listener or the reader, the benefits versus the features. The features don't matter as much as, you know, is it going to help me save time? Is it going to save me money? Is it going to make me more efficient? You know, and you have to know your audience in order to be able to write that way. And so that, to me, is very, difficult to do for yourself. And even, you know, it's for someone like me, at least my style, it's really, really helpful if you have something, you know, maybe you've started and you're just thinking, oh, this is, you know, horrible. I can't stand it. You know, let me let somebody else look at it. I can then see your style. I can then see your voice. I can then see where you're going with it. And then go, okay, this and this and this is what I would do, and tweak it. And a lot of times, you know, it's turned upside down and, you know, backwards and which way, mm-hmm. but your main message is there the way you wanted it,
right,
you know, you originally intended it to be. But, again, I just think so many times you're just so close to it that you just can't get there. Not to mention the fact that business owners and solopreneurs and entrepreneurs and, you know, marketing executives have 14,000 other things that they're doing, and chances are very good that they didn't get into business to write their own copy. You know, they got into business to service their clients or to do something, you know, do whatever their business is. So sitting down, and even for me, you know, yes, I do this every day, but I have to take a chunk of time. I am not a 10-minute increment kind of writer, so I don't think a lot of people are, but you know, to sit down and take a huge chunk out of your day to do the writing is sometimes a big challenge, too, when you've got a lot of other things to do.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And that's why you are now my copywriter.
Well, that's why I'm here.
And you're right. Because, you know, I have these, I know my product. I know exactly what we can do. I know exactly what we can offer. And when I put it down in writing, it comes across as very technical.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a technical writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything I do is technical.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to hand it over to you, who can put it in human form. Because
so
when
everybody
I put
else
it down,
understands it.
That's right. Because I look at it, it makes perfect sense to me, and somebody else will look at it and go, God, that's dry.
Yeah.
Really? How boring. Well, they don't even get too far into it because it's just too technical.
And you know, I've got a financial advisor who I do some work with, and it's been kind of a battle with us for years because, you know, he says, oh, you know, this is what it needs to say. And wait a minute. Is anybody going to read that, first of all? And if they do happen to read it, are they going to understand it? You know, I mean, he's got a certain demographic about him. You know, he doesn't want the do-it-yourselfers on, you know, he doesn't
right.
want stock traders and, you know, that kind of thing. But he, at the same time, you know, he needs them to know that what he's doing is in their best interest and, you know, those sorts of things. So there's a fine line, but it's kind of a back and forth, kind of a volleying match between us because, well, you really need to say this or we could do this. And then he thinks of it from his perspective. And I'm thinking, no, you need to shift it a little bit, shift it to the audience because that's mm-hmm. what will make the difference.
That's exactly right. And you said something earlier that really resonated with me because, you know, I build websites every day of every week, Saturday and Sunday as well. It's just what I do. You know, I have owned two small businesses. One is web development. One is virtual assistants, and they got married somewhere along the way.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't invited. I didn't even know that the ceremony took place. All I know is now they are
they eloped.
It was crazy. Just all of a sudden the lines blurred, and you know we were doing everything for our web development clients. They would become VA clients, and VA clients needed websites, and they eloped. You're right. That's a very good way of putting it. And what I always tell both of my groups of clients is, listen, your website provides one function and one function only, and it is not about you. Your people, your clients, your prospects, casual visitors are coming to your website for one reason and one reason only. What's in it for them?
Mm-hmm.
They need to have a question answered. They need to find a solution
mm-hmm.
to a problem, but they need to know straight out of the chute what's potentially in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if your website or your copy is not answering largely unasked questions, you have to ask the questions to get the answers, your copy is failing.
And if it's focusing on the bells and whistles of your product or
mm-hmm.
your service, those specs, the technical specs, you know, that doesn't really, I mean, unless it's somebody in your industry who intimately understands it and intimately
right.
and immediately understands the solution that will provide, yeah, it won't convert. It won't matter. So you have
that's
to communicate.
Exactly right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you hear a lot about SEO and, you know, keywords and those sorts of things, and, you know, some of that drives me crazy. I in fact posted something on Facebook not long ago about it was a article from a different English speaking country about how, you know, it's great to hire copywriters. You should hire copywriters, but it was, you know, butchered and, you know, so many keywords stuffed in it, and it's like, you know, you're not, and you hear this a lot, you're not writing for an algorithm or a machine, you're writing for people. So yes, you want to write with the information and the specifications, you want to include all of that, but at the same time you have to speak to people.
Right.
And how it's going to help them.
Exactly. And one way around that, many, many people now are going to WordPress. And WordPress has some fabulous SEO plugins. There's Yoast SEO plugin. There's All-in-One SEO. And that's where you populate those long-tail keywords
mm-hmm.
and those meta tags.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, front-loading your copy or your message with... Excuse me, I'm very raspy today. I think it's from yelling.
Yeah,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think people got away with it, or I think it became part of the online landscape for a while.
Yeah.
But now it's you know,
it's really not valid
again.
Any longer. Yeah, it's really not. There's just too many other really ethical ways around it. So
and
really just don't have to do that. But, yeah, you do want the keywords in there if
exactly.
they flow and if they make sense.
Right. But that you hit on the part that I was just about to, the ethics of the whole thing. I'm almost honest to a fault, and that actually feels a little bit sketchy to me that you're, you know, loading the keywords or just, you know, you're just trying to kind of put a patch over things, and
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But
well, I think it doesn't make a lot of sense to other people as well because, you know, people, your consumer, your
mm-hmm.
client, they're as smart as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're trying to trick them into something, you know, I don't know about you, but my spidey sense goes off.
Yeah, your credibility.
And I hate being sold to, and I hate, you know, that kind of dirty feeling of a used car salesman trying to
yeah.
sell me a car
yeah.
that I already picked out.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me the keys, you know, but,
exactly.
you know, it just, you just kind of get that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like, this is just not all that honorable.
No.
Mm-mm. So I think that's where really good copywriting comes into play because, as you and I discussed, particularly on one of my recent projects, you know, this is not something... Because I remember when you were interviewing me
mm-hmm.
on what I wanted for this particular copy, you said, well, you know, why? What was it you said to me, Andrea? Why do you want to sell this to people? I said, I don't. I really don't. And we were talking, and I'll just tell you what the project is. It's a project for long sales pages. And really, it's just information that I'm putting on my primary website,
mm-hmm.
your office on the web, about what a long sales page can do for you. Do I want to sell them? Not really. I mean, if you want one, I'll build it. Is it a primary function of what I do? No. But it's just another offering. It's just
sure.
it's to kind of flesh out our portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you being kind of confused about that. It's like, you want me to build a sales page for something you don't really want to sell? I was
well,
like, yep.
But you also understand the benefit to it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
it, to your clients. And that's the other part of it. You know, they may not be the forefront of your portfolio list or your service
mm-hmm.
offerings, but you understand the benefit of what long copy sales pages can do.
Right,
or an
right.
online business, and you know that is you're rounding out your portfolio, you're rounding out
mm-hmm.
your service list so that you can offer, you know, what your clients need.
Right, and
yeah.
it's, you know, it's not a primary importance to me at all. But somebody may land on my website and go, oh gosh,
mm-hmm.
she gets it. Who do we talk to? How do we
exactly.
get one of these?
Right.
So,
exactly.
And if that happens, it's all well and good. If not. It still, like you said, it rounds out my portfolio and it lets people know that we really, really do know what we're talking about.
Of course, sure.
And from my perspective, and you and I talked about this during the interview process, and I don't want to make this call about me, but I want people to understand how you work.
Mm-hmm.
and how a copywriter works to you know, kind of really flesh out my business or your client's business. Because one of the things in the interview process I recall was, you know, you saying to me, well, what is the function of this? There really isn't one. I didn't think there was one. And then you pointed out to me that eventually it was going to function almost as its own sales page, if you will. But
right.
It really, basically what I was trying, and I finally figured out how to convey this to you because you kept at me and just kept poking you to you relentless. And you just kept saying, but Denise, it doesn't make sense that you want long copy and you're not selling anything. It's like, I know, but I, at some level I must have known that I needed to do this. Because what my observation of web developers is, most web developers, well, a large percentage of web developers, is that some of them can do some gorgeous work. I mean, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But then they hand you this website that nobody knows what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Social media hasn't been built in. You know, maybe they need long sales copy for an event that they're planning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody on the build team discussed that with them.
No.
Nobody on the build team discussed with them, look, do you have a Twitter page? Do you have Facebook? Do you have YouTube? You know, what about your social media? What about your Google profile? What about, you know, all of the different components that make this thing go viral?
Right.
And unfortunately, so many people hire a web developer and they get exactly what they paid for,
mm-hmm.
which is a good-looking site that just sits in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not built to actually do anything. And what you finally got out of me at the end of two or three very painful conversations.
Because it's,
I kept saying,
it's your
I
business,
just don't know. Exactly. I just said,
it's so hard when it's yours.
I just want you to do it. Just do it.
Denise, I really have a few hundred questions for you, but okay.
I know. It was really an interesting process and one that, you know, I came to appreciate eventually.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, well, I had to. I mean, at first I was like, really? I felt like I was kind of in school with my little copybook writing stuff down. I was like, I have to. Can't she just do this on her own? She talked to me once. Surely to God she knows me by now.
Not quite.
No. It was pretty interesting. But what I came out of that with is that, okay, now I'm making, you know, people who come to your office on the web understand that, you know, we're not just a web development company. We know how to help you market your event or your program or your website,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, encompass all of the different things that make your site live and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that piece of real estate on the internet, it needs to be alive. And I think so many people just don't get that. They're like, oh, look, it's pretty.
Well,
yeah, what does
oh
it do?
My gosh. My husband is a designer, so that's I get that all the time. I mean, he has talked to people about working with a copywriter. Mm-hmm. I can do that, but they love mm-hmm. everything that he does because they can
right.
see it and they go, "Well, I can't make that logo, or I can't make that." Okay,
right.
But you know, once you get past that and you actually have to communicate with somebody, what's that going to say? So, you know, people, I would never pay that much for a copywriter.
Look, I was one of those people. I mean, I got a quote. Look, my hair is very, very curly. When I got my first quote, I could feel my hair tightening up. It was like, oh, my scalp was crawling.
Well, not the quote for me.
I was like, holy crumb. Oh, really?
I mean, it wasn't a quote for me, was it?
It was not a quote from you, no.
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 I do believe that my rates are very reasonable.
They are. You know, they really are. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I got a quote from a couple of, you know, really big name copywriters, and I just said, after I, you know, picked myself up off the floor from lack of oxygen, I said, thank you. I really, and look, I got the work they did. I understood the value they brought. I also just couldn't justify it in my budget. So I just
right.
said, oh, gosh. So then we'll go back to Kimberly Bohannon, you know, go for your dream. And she kept saying, you have got to talk to Andrea. Because I was whining, I admit it. And, you know, she said, you've got to talk to Andrea. And I said, okay. And then I didn't. And then she said, you've got to talk to
Kimberly.
Andrea. So finally we did get together and I just went, you know what? We're going to work together. Because I had seen your work and I love your work.
Thank you.
So, you know, yes, your rates are... I mean, you're not cheap. Nobody wants cheap. I wouldn't hire cheap.
Well, you get what
you pay
for, right?
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love your work. And what you pulled out of your hat last night, I was floored. I sent you back a note and just said, wow.
Yeah.
You're big
good.
Old-fashioned.
I'm so glad. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. I was happy, too, because, you know, when we first started out with this, I thought, maybe I really need to go back to my little, you know, blotter and give her some more ideas because, you know, I'm not sure where this is going. And then all of a sudden you took a right turn and just pulled something out that was just perfect.
Oh, good. Thank
you. So that's
you.
What a copywriter can do for you. Now, from my perspective, all I have to do is take this wonderful copy, put it in my webpage, and I can go on to the next project. Thank you.
And see, then you build it just the way you know how. I mean, of
exactly.
course, you do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, you know, not only do I think that copy is difficult for people because it's, you know, they're so close to it, but it's just like with any part of your business that you don't do all the time that
right.
isn't your business. I mean, whether you're a plumber or, I don't know, a designer or, you know, a florist or something, you know, if you're a florist but you have to do billing but you're not a math person, I mean, it's just going to be a grueling process.
Right.
So
and if you're not enjoying it, that shows.
Exactly.
It does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, let's kind of define copywriting a little bit because I'm a little concerned that people who are just starting maybe an online business or, you know, looking at ways to build their current business,
mm-hmm.
I'm concerned that they might be thinking copywriter, well, I can write my own blogs and, you know, I can do, we're not talking about that. I mean, there is assistance if you want, you know, easy PLR, which is private label rights. That's a whole nother show.
Yes.
But define for our audience, if you will, what you mean by copywriting and why copywriting for people like me is, and I admit it took me a long time to get there, but why for stubborn people like me it is so, so important.
Well, copywriting is your business communications, your marketing, business marketing communications. So, you know, whether it's old school print, you know, your brochures, your flyers, your newspaper ads, those sorts of things, or of course now the new age, you know, web stuff, your websites, your sales pages, your email autoresponders, landing pages, you know, all those sorts of
video.
Things. So it's any videos. I'm doing one of those for Kimberly now, video script board.
Mm-hmm.
It's any written. I even do just simple sales letters for some of my smaller local clients, you know, if they're doing business to business with other, you know, professionals in the community, you know, it's any written communication that markets your business. And the reason that it's important is because it's your brand. Your message, you need to be able to communicate clearly to clients and prospects whatever your message is. And there are a lot of times that, and again, I speak from not only personal experience, even with Venue, I love my wine tastings. But at the same time, it was, again, grueling for me to write because I was so close to it. And I couldn't mm-hmm. figure out, like, you know what I want the big picture to be, but what are the specifics? And so it's you just have to communicate clearly with whomever you're speaking to about, you know, the where, when, why of your company. And then, of course, encourage them to do whatever you would like them to do, whether it be, you know, buy or call or visit or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your brand. And your brand isn't just visual. It's just as much what you say as how you look.
Right. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to explain to clients, look, not everybody's Coca-Cola.
No.
You can't just put that red, you know, logo up there and have people go, ooh, Coke.
And it's more important, actually, almost. I mean, they may be playing on a bigger playing field, but that's why your message is even more important as a small business or a medium-sized business or a non-Coca-Cola because, you know, they've got so much brand equity built up, you know, the small guys don't.
Right.
So your message needs to be even clearer.
You know what I'd like to ask you, too? One thing, and you probably hear this as well, but this is a common concern or lament. I'm not sure which it is.
Mm-hmm.
among, you know, people who come to me, you know, well, we need a website, or we need, you know, virtual assistants, and we need social media branding. Well, you know, I don't know what my demographics are. Well, sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't, they say, well, you know, I'll say, okay, who is your message trying to reach? What, you know, what is your demographic? Well, everybody. Oh, gosh. Okay, let's start winnowing this out.
Right, right.
No, not everybody. Nope.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once we determine that, but one of the things that I hear all the time, and I'm willing to bet you do as well, is people will say, well, you know, I've heard of, you know, other people do this so well, I can't go into competition. Ah.
Yes.
I mean, seriously? Really? Mm-hmm. You're unique. You're the perfect you. You're unique. You have your own people who really want to hear from you. Not
mm-hmm.
everybody wants to go to, and Mari Smith is the best out there for social media.
Right.
But not everybody wants to go to Mari Smith.
Right. And yeah,
you know, I mean, she's really, really good, but she may not resonate with everybody.
Sure.
I'm really good, but I don't resonate with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your own group of people or clients or, you know, subscribers who are going to really resonate to who and what you are.
Sure.
And they're going to follow you if you're doing it properly.
Right.
Do you get this a lot?
You know, I haven't. I think that a lot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's kind of what we've talked about, and you were just saying, you know, not everybody resonates with everybody. And
no.
You are unique, even if, you know, I'm a copywriter, and there are however other many copywriters out there, but, you know, I may resonate with a new client differently than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you personally, and that's why social media, I think, just opens so many doors, because it allows people to see you and the you behind it, and so nice to be able to just have that conversation, you know. Could be somebody in Iowa, and I'm sitting in Florida, and you could still
right.
connect. So it's I don't personally get that all that much, but, you know, as far as, you know, who am I talking to? Yeah, I mean, I get that a lot. You know, I don't know exactly who my audience is. And, okay, well, what did you start the business for? Tell me what some of the people are dealing with that you're reaching out to. Give me some examples. But as far as competitors, I guess I don't get that too much.
Well,
and it might
I hear
be,
it a lot.
I mean, just trying to think of an example. The most recent things, you know, I've got people who are kind of established and not necessarily, like, you know, straight out of the gate, like they might be coming to you because, you know, they're newer companies, you know, quite possibly. But I know nothing is coming to mind, honestly. I just do that more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and it's a common thing. And I think what people maybe need to understand about Facebook, and you touched on it a little bit, is that, you know, you're in Florida, I'm in Louisiana, I talk to people all over the country, in Canada, and honestly, would I meet them in my local village? No, never happened. So I have, you know, I had the pleasure and the privilege over the last several years to meet some of the neatest darn people,
mm-hmm.
and all through Facebook and LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
Facebook primarily. But, you know, if you start these conversations and if you engage with other people, which I think is really, really important, and you do some lurking and you do not voyeurism, let's
mm-hmm.
not go down that road, but you do the listening, like Gary says. I mean, you listen and you watch, you know, what's going on in the different communities that you have interest in, whether it's, you know, people like Mari Smith and Kevin Nations and Larry Wingate, whoever, you know, whoever it is that you're watching. And there should be several somebodies you're watching, to be honest, because
sure.
there's a lot of fabulous, fabulous free information that these
mm-hmm.
people are sharing.
You and
do,
everybody
Ivy,
has
we
slightly
all do.
Different take.
We all do. We all have our different thoughts, our different unique, you know, approach and spin to everything. But, you know, once you start to engage on Facebook, then you can kind of figure out, well, what is my message?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm listening to these messages and, you know, boy, I don't want to copy somebody. But, yeah, they're talking my language.
Right.
So now how do I build my own web presence? And how do I build my own message, my elevator pitch, my my tagline, you know, my sales copy if I have something to sell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where people like you and I come into play. And one thing about online entrepreneurs that I've noticed is, you know, we're very generous people. We'll answer questions.
Oh, gosh,
we're not
yes.
going to charge you $150 an hour.
No.
Shoot us a note. We'll do what we can to help.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my biggest thing for all of that, I mean, you know, being down to earth and all of that is, you know, just be yourself. You know, there's so much out there these days about how to do social media and how, you know, how to be on Twitter and how to be on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
go. Just go on there.
Just go do it. Yep.
And be you. And then you connect. That's it. And there's a big difference between marketing or a sales pitch and engaging. Mm-hmm. You know, so
right.
just talk. Just talk and be you. And, you know, I do think it's a good idea, especially for new companies. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, you talk about the logo or the look and feel, but, you know, come up with that tagline. And I almost wrote a blog post about this. I went to a BNI meeting here, just a visitor's meeting. I didn't end up joining, but there was a woman, and she, I don't even remember her business at this point, and this would illustrate my point. They said, you know, tell us your name, your business, and your tagline. Just kind of give us your little elevator speech.
Right.
And she says, my name is so-and-so. I'm in such-and-such. And she said, my pitch is, you know, you've seen the rest. Now work with the best. And I
Which
thought,
means nothing.
Not a thing. I mean, first of all, it's cliche. Second of
yeah.
all, I mean, it was cliche because it's been around for so long. But
yeah.
It tells people nothing about your business.
Well, there was, what was her industry? I mean, I see nothing there industry specific or what's
no.
in it for the people who are listening to her.
Not a thing.
I mean, so what was it that she did? Do you even remember?
I want to say it was an auction company.
See, that's bad. You don't even know.
No,
I mean, she completely failed in her message.
Totally. And that. So I think it's a good idea for the business owner and your prospects, your clients, because it educates you and it educates them. Come up with that tagline and bounce it off of people first. Ask your sphere of influence. Ask your family.
Right.
Ask those around you, does this tell you what I do? And if it doesn't, then you have to go back to the drawing board. I mean, of course, you know, a copywriter can help you with those sorts of things, but, you know, just to do that on your own, just brainstorm. You know, go to lunch one day, think of things, look in a thesaurus. I mean, and I say this very easily. I've said this to clients before. You know, don't worry about writing something cohesively. Just write down bullet points. Well, that's because it's very easy for me because it's my business. So it could be very difficult for somebody. But, you know, brainstorm with somebody and get that tagline. And then once you do that, make some talking points about your business. You know, this is who we sell to. This is why we do it. This is my main message. This is my philosophy. This is my vision. Type out, you know, 5 to 10 things that just encompass your business. And so that
right.
way when you're at a meeting, it doesn't have, your copywriting isn't limited to the written word either, of course. It, like you were saying, video scripts, but it's also your person-to-person networking.
Right.
So if you have those talking points down and that tagline down, then you carry that brand message everywhere you go.
And you stay on point.
Exactly.
Because if you get into a situation like this lady did, bless her heart, where she's put on the spot and she genuinely has not defined, it doesn't sound to me like she had genuinely defined her business philosophy.
No.
So no. she didn't know what to say. She really didn't have an on-point message because it sounds to me like her, or this is how it would come across to me at any rate, that her thinking is muddled. You know, that she's just out there kind of, you know, throwing business cards, hoping one will stick.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, I mean, what a waste of her time.
Well, you know, I think it's, again, one of those byproducts of being so close to your business. Because
yeah.
she probably thinks, well, I know what I do, so everybody else does too. Or,
well, and
you know,
we all do fall prey to that, we do.
Oh, gosh.
It's just too easy to fall into that. It's like, well, how
Very
come you don't play it too? I'm a web developer. Doesn't that tell you everything? And that's why I wanted the sales page created, because I'm not just a web developer.
Well, Well, and
I'm a marketer. I'm a VA. I do it all.
There are a lot of components to that. I mean, I'm a copywriter, but then I can do web. I can do print. You know, you can do a multitude of facts as well for your clients. There are bits and pieces to every business that need to be defined.
Exactly, and I'm glad you said that because it's so easy to fall under that heading. Well, you know, copywriter, web developer, what do you call that, barista when you're making coffee? That
yes.
Is who we,
yes. Business coach,
I don't
graphic
know what
designer.
It is. Exactly.
It's
one-dimensional.
And you hear a lot about niche marketing. I mean, maybe there's, you know, there are graphic designers out there who just do logos. My cousin is a photographer, but actually she's not just any photographer, she's a wedding photographer. So, you know, there are small niches for every business. Even if you do more than one thing, you know, your message is then just a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Andrea, tell people where they can find you on the web. Maybe email you.
Okay. My web domain address is stellarcopywriting.com, stellarcopywriting.com. I am on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter name is a little bit different. I'm toying with changing it, but I think it's there now, so I'm going to keep it. It's at and then 3 M's, MMM, and then LEKKER. Lecker. It's a carryover from my time in Holland.
Okay.
I know, it's a little goofy, but part of my brand, right?
You're right.
I didn't know what I was doing when I started Twitter, so that's where I am now.
You know, most people don't. And, you know, things change so often that there's never any really wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty about the Internet. You can switch things around on a dime.
Exactly.
And that goes back to what you were saying earlier. You know, it's, you know, some people just get paralyzed by thinking they have to be perfect and they don't know how to do it. Just do it. The Internet can be forgiving. It can be your worst enemy if you mess up.
But it
can be very forgiving, too.
That's a good point to bring up just to the very end. Even if you do mess up, you know, in addition to the whole be yourself, you know, be honest in your copy and your communication, and you're already a step ahead.
Mm-hmm, exactly right.
Honest,
you know, honest communication, yeah.
And heartfelt.
Right.
Yeah. That makes a big difference.
You know what? I would love to ask this, and I'm not sure I should, but I'm going to anyway. You can tell me. You don't want to answer it.
Okay.
But one thing, I have read copy. Look, there's some great copy out there. There, you know, for products that really people shouldn't be buying, I'll be honest with you. I see some of these big-name marketers, and I'm not going to name names. They've been around for a long time. And basically all they do is they roll out product after product after product. And you can tell they are spending a fortune with copywriters because the copywriting is just stellar. Little play on words there. Look, I have had clients who have bought these products because of the writing, the sales, and they'll say, okay, go in there. It's one client in particular who is afflicted with what I call shiny object syndrome, and my job most days is to pull him back from the precipice. I love him, but I keep saying, don't buy any more crap, okay? Work with the one we've got.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go into some of these things, and almost invariably I will say, can you get your money back? Sure.
Really?
You've got how many days to get your money back? Can you get your money back?
Oh, God.
So, and it's a waste of his time. It's a waste of mine because I have to go in and master this program, which turns out to be just, I'm not going to get on my hobby horse here.
Right.
Anyway, do people, if somebody were to come to you and want you to write copy for something you're pretty sure is just dressed up horse manure, I'm assuming that you would tell them no, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, I had a guy contact me about doing a landing page, maybe about a year ago at this point, and I was really questioning whether or not what he was doing was even legal. And when I started asking him about it, he kind of backed off, and then he didn't go with me. So
good.
I was like, that's fine, you know. And that's why I say, and not tooting my own horn at all. This is just part of me and my brand is, as I said, I'm almost honest to a fault. If I don't feel right about it, if there's a funky vibe to it, then I won't do it.
Good for you.
I won't
because
do it.
That's the kind of stuff that follows you around forever and ever, you're not always a good fit for the client.
No.
And as entrepreneurs, we need to be able to say, no, you know, let me refer you to somebody else who might be a worker, or, you know, I'm sorry, we just can't take on this project. We do it all the time.
Yeah, I had another guy who, he contacted me about doing a landing page, but then he wanted, you know, I ended up talking to him. Every time we got on the phone, it was at least 45 minutes, and it was him picking my brain and doing this and doing this, and finally he sent me a check. And then in to do a couple of projects, before either one of those projects got started, he started me on another one, and then he wanted me, he literally wrote to me in an email about, well, now you have to show me something. I was like, I've already completed a project for you. What do you mean I have to show you something? And then that's when you just know. I mean, you know, I resonate extremely well with Kimberly. I resonate great with you. There are so many clients. You're just not going to resonate well with everybody. It just doesn't happen.
That's exactly right. And that kind of goes back to, you know, who is your audience? It's not everybody.
No.
Who are your clients? It's not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty about doing what we do as entrepreneurs and working, you know, our own business and working to our own passion and our own comforts and our own strength is we get to work with who we want to work with.
Yep.
And
that
is
exactly
a fabulous day, any day of the work.
And then to learn that it's okay, that's when you know you're making progress, in my mind. Because when you're an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, sometimes it's like, where's the next paycheck coming from? And it's stressful. But if you can get to that point and just say, yes, it's a paycheck, but it's not worth my time, that to me is growth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We must be over time. We have somebody in the chat room said, did we disconnect or did time run out? She was hanging on every word. So
it looks like
our time has actually run out. I can't believe that we blew through an hour like that, but we did.
Gosh. So, when it's gabbing.
Anyway, I know. So we have a lot to say. So tell people where they can find you on the web.
My website is stellarcopywriting.com. My email is andrea@stellarcopywriting.com. And then, again, I am on Facebook, just Andrea Mott Dennis, M-O-T-T, like the applesauce. And that's my maiden name, obviously. And Mlekkert, M-M-M-L-E-K-K-E-R, on Twitter, which I'm trying to get better about being on. And I am on LinkedIn. I'm not very active on there, I have to be honest. And
It's getting better. It's getting much easier to use.
Yes. Just need to kind of get all those ducks in a row and...
You do. Well, you need to set up a time every day to do these things. Or, look, I'm a virtual assistant. I have a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
You know, I have two, actually. I mean, I have
that's
one assistant.
That's saying something.
Here. Well, I have 23 people that I employ. So two of them are my personal assistants. So, you know, that tells you kind of where we're at. But I have to read this nice note in the chat room. It says, I see it's the top of the hour, so time must have run out. Thank you so much for your time here. I really enjoyed sitting across the table and listening to the conversation. That's
sweet. Oh, good.
Isn't that nice? So
that's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully she took away some really great points from you. Andrea, thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm sorry that it took us this long to pull it together, but we did. And you gave some really great information to our listeners. And listen, anybody who is listening to us, if you need copywriting, she's the girl, I'm telling you.
Oh, thank you.
Wait till you see what she did with my sales page, then I don't care if sells anything. I mean, she's that good. So,
well,
thank
good.
You.
I mean, you know, my goal would be for it to actually sell you something.
Well,
but
yeah.
Whatever
but
makes you happy,
that wasn't
Denise.
My goal. I know. So I think that was why it was so hard for you to understand where I was going, because it's like, I don't care if it sells. I just want people to know we can do it.
Well,
but
you know, I'll write it to sell.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen, everybody, thank you so much for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little bit less. And this is Denise Griffiths and Andrea Mott Dennis, and we're wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you all here next week. Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.